Barely aware that she was moving, Anya ran through the trees and across the hills and the valleys. Branches whipped past her face. She could smell the wet pines, the dampness of the rain on the air. She could feel her feet on the slippery mud, but somehow kept her balance just the same. And still, she could feel Jenny's fear. She knew it now like it was her own. And she saw the darkness that surrounded Jenny. The cave. Anya opened her eyes and nearly fell over. She wasn't by the pine boughs where Joey had left Jenny. She was somewhere else, far away from where they'd been. Joey stood nearby. He was smiling.
Hey!
Hey, yourself. Where the hell are we?
I don't really know. This isn't a part of the woods that I've explored before.
I thought you'd been everywhere.
Nope. This is a lot of land. Parts of this place are almost inaccessible. Frankly, when you took off running, I was a bit concerned I'd lose you. If you'd kept up with me like that earlier, we might have found Jenny even faster.
Funny guy. I don't even remember moving.
Yeah, well, when you suddenly forget about keeping your body, mind, and spirit together, crazy things can happen.
I guess.
This is some pretty steep terrain. You think Jenny's around here somewhere?
A cave. I think she's in a cave somewhere above us.
Can you narrow it down some before we start poking our noses into every cave we come across?
How could I do that?
Close your eyes again.
Okay.
Just this time, try to move a little slower, would you? You almost had me tired out back there.
All right.
She closed her eyes and tried to focus on the darkness, but instead of feeling like she could see the darkness, Anya found that she couldn't concentrate on the pitch-black interior any longer. For some reason, it didn't feel right. She opened her eyes.
Something wrong?
I don't know. I closed my eyes and tried to tune into Jenny again, but I don't see any darkness. I'm trying to see the cave, but it's not working for some reason.
A lot of this stuff is just done by gut instinct. If something feels wrong, that usually means it is.
So you think I'm doing it wrong?
I didn't say that. I just said if it feels wrong, then perhaps something has changed that we can't see just yet.
Like what?
I don't know. Maybe Jenny's not in a cave anymore. Hey, did you say anything to her when you were spirit tracking?
I called her name a couple of times. Then I think I told her to find a way out of the cave and that we'd find her.
There you go. She's probably making her way back down to us even as we stand here.
Really?
Why not?
So where would you suggest we look for Jenny then? She could be anywhere.
I say we stay right here, and that she'll probably be along shortly.
Of all the places in these woods, you think she's just going to wander down in front of us?
Why not?
You've got a lot of faith.
Just a confidence in the way the Creator works, that's all. But I don't get all religious about it, just appreciative.
Joey hunkered down on a nearby log and started studying the ground. Anya watched him as he ran his hands over the dirt.
Any tracks?
Not sure, actually. I see some depressions, but I can't tell what made them.
Meaning?
Nothing, I guess. I'd sure like to know what track this is. There are no real impressions, just a displacement of dirt. It's weird.
Why are you guys looking at the ground?
Anya glanced up. Coming out of the trees in front of them was Jenny Chu. Anya couldn't contain herself. She rushed up and grabbed Jenny in a bear hug.
Thank God you're alive!
I'm so glad to see you. I don't know what happened exactly.
Jenny swept the two with a grateful, exhausted look as Anya let her go and led her to the side of the trail. Both women sat, and Joey hunkered down near them and frowned slightly at Jenny.
When I left you, you were passed out asleep.
I think it was that tea you made me. It was so warm and delicious, I just went out after a few sips of that stuff.
An old family recipe. But what happened? I wouldn't have left you if I'd known you were gonna up and leave like that.
Are you feeling all right? Joey can make a fire if you need one.
I'm okay, actually. Getting down here helped warm me up.
So can you tell us what happened to you?
I left the camp early this morning. I'd come because a contact of mine out here found some tracks.
Tracks?
He believed they belonged to the Sasquatch.
Joey rolled his eyes, and Anya resisted the urge to do the same. Instead, she smiled.
All right, that made you launch the expedition. But what happened this morning when you left camp?
I was getting a feel for the lay of the land. There's something incredible about this forest. It's almost as if it has some type of spirit watching over it. The trails aren't beaten down by humans. There's very little, if any, litter anywhere. And the majesty of the place can be overwhelming.
I tend to think our friend Joey here helps keep the place looking better than average.
Part of my duty.
Well, you're doing a phenomenal job. But I tend to think there might be another presence here. And the footprint casts that I saw in pictures made me desperately want to come here and find out for myself.
So you were out hiking this morning?
I hadn't planned to do much, maybe a few miles on one of the trails. I lost track of time. By late afternoon, I was heading back, but instead of the camp, I found an empty clearing.
We had some nasty visitors with guns while you were gone. They were very persuasive when they asked us to leave.
Guns? The students. Are they okay?
Safe back in town, thanks to Joey.
That's one more I owe you, huh?
Add it to the tab. It's cool.
And you stayed, Anya?
Sure. I wasn't going to desert one of my friends. Especially not one who went through so much trouble to get me to come out here in the first place.
Thanks. I mean it. And thanks for making sure my students got taken care of.
They're safe. So are you. That's what matters. Joey, would it be too much to ask you to make a fire? A couple of cups of that tea you made, Jenny, sounds really good.
Consider it done.
Anya watched Joey vanish into the woods to find the necessary ingredients. Then she looked back at Jenny.
All right, now what the hell is really going on here?
What do you mean?
What I mean is, you bring me out here to some camp in the middle of nowhere. I get here and instantly I'm faced with three mean dudes with guns. I have to shepherd your students back to town. Then I have a run-in with a wolf. It's been pouring buckets and you almost die from exposure. I visit some old Native American man who surreptitiously teaches me how to do something called spirit tracking, and we manage to find each other. You sure this is all about some set of tracks?
I don't know.
That's not much of an answer.
Joey emerged from the brush with an armload of pine needles and some damp rocks. He set his fines and his pack down and knelt to make the fire pit. He looked at Anya.
I take it you want this thing kept low profile?
The lower the better.
Joey nodded, dug a shallow pit, and lined it with rocks. He dug some dry fluff out of his pack and laid it in the pit. With a grin at Anya, he pulled out a lighter and started the fire. She smiled and shook her head at him as he fed in twigs and got a respectable fire going. Anya watched him fix several sticks together to make some sort of grill. On top of this, he placed a small metal bowl from his bag. He unscrewed the cap from his canteen and filled the bowl with water. He grinned again, satisfied with the job. Anya glanced back at Jenny, who wasn't looking nearly so happy.
Tell me about this contact of yours.
David. He's just a friend I met through an online site for Sasquatch aficionados. We hit it off and started comparing notes. He mentioned he was out here and that he'd come across something he thought I might find interesting.
The tracks?
Yes.
And he showed them to you?
Via email. He sent me a digital photo of them.
Any fool with Photoshop can alter a picture and make it look like something else.
Maybe I was naive.
Have you seen this David guy since you've been out here?
That's the odd thing. He was supposed to meet up with me in town to discuss the search pattern we were going to run to find the creature.
You actually thought you were going to find the Sasquatch? And they say kids are crazy.
Make the tea, Joey. Jenny, you really thought you might catch one?
That's a bad choice of words. By find, I meant that we would get some type of evidence on film that the creatures exist. I didn't mean that we were going to trap one and cart it off for study.
What's the background on David? Is he local? Would Joey know him?
I thought he was local. But I guess I don't really know.
How in the world did you ever convince the university to back this expedition?
I used to date the head of the Department of Anthropology. He owed me a favor.
So let me see if I've got this straight. You hook up with some guy on the net. He sends you pictures. You agree to come out and meet him and manage to convince people to give you money to do so.
That's about it, yes.
You realize this sounds exactly like some type of expose on the dangers the internet poses to children, don't you?
Joey stirred a handful of pine needles into the boiling water.
Tea will be ready soon, everyone.
Anya frowned. She wished she had some whiskey to go along with that tea. The thought that Jenny would be so reckless, not just with her own safety, but with the safety of her students, really bothered her. Anya couldn't believe it. It didn't seem like something Jenny would do. And yet, here she was.
So this David never showed up, huh?
No.
And just what did this guy look like?
He was sort of tall, nice face, clean-shaven, kind of that scholarly look. You know the one I like.
Yeah, I know what you like.
It didn't seem as if this David had any connection to the angry gunman. None of them fit that description. That was at least something in his favor.
Did you have any established communication routine at all? Would he know how to get in touch with you?
He had my cell phone number.
And did he call you at any point?
No, he didn't.
Joey handed Jenny a cup of the tea.
Drink this. It'll make you feel better.
Anya accepted tea from him as well. The heat felt good against her cold fingers.
So, Joey, does this David guy sound familiar to you?
Joey sipped his own cup of tea, then shook his head.
Sorry, no. I mean, every once in a while we get some kooks through here who think they're on the monster's trail.
When the Sasquatch doesn't come out of the brush and sit on one of their camp chairs, they tend to lose patience and move on.
Looks as if David is a ghost, then. If he even existed at all.
But I spoke with him.
Online. There's no guarantee that it wasn't someone else on the other end feeding you a fake picture of who you thought David was.
But why go through that trouble?
I don't know. But someone did, apparently. Or else there's the other option.
What's that?
That David has either been kidnapped or killed.
You're not serious?
Why not? Given the other characters I've run into since I arrived earlier today, it's not out of the realm of possibility that something bad happened.
I don't believe it. I think he's still around. After all, look what happened to me. I vanished, and yet you found me.
You found your way down the mountain, Jenny. I didn't do anything.
You spoke to me in a dream. It was very clear to me.
Wow. Anya, pretty good for a first-timer.
Shh, Joey. Jen, you heard me?
When I was in the cave. It was completely dark, couldn't see a thing, and yet, in the darkness, you spoke to me as if you were right next to me. I've been crying, and then it was like you were there. Pretty amazing.
You remember anything else about getting to that cave?
Not really. I had the distinct sensation of someone lifting me up and running with me in their arms.
They'd have to be pretty strong to do that. Maybe you were just hallucinating or sleepwalking?
No way. This was for real.
And just who do you think snatched you up like that?
Jenny stared down into her tea and then looked right at Anya.
Like, Bigfoot, of course.
Joey glanced at Anya and rolled his eyes. Anya herself wasn't quite sure what to make of Jenny's statement. She seemed so utterly certain that it was almost hard to argue with her conviction.
Bigfoot.
I know you think I'm being crazy.
I don't.
I do. Completely bonkers. You need medication for that condition.
Joey, maybe we should just let her talk and get it out of her system. Okay, Jenny, why do you think the Sasquatch had something to do with your disappearance?
He had everything to do with it. I was almost asleep when Joey left me, just about to drop off into deep rest, when I sensed this presence around me, as if I was being enveloped by it. And then I was rushing through the forest.
Did you see it?
No, I was asleep, remember?
Yes, but if you didn't actually see it...
What about a smell?
Smell?
A lot of people who have claimed to see the Sasquatch say that it smells really awful. Some kind of body odor. Did you smell anything?
Well, no, actually, but...
Seems weird that a giant ape creature could stroll in and pick you up, run you through the woods, and you didn't think to open your eyes or take a whiff? I think you hallucinated the whole thing. Maybe you were sleepwalking or something. In your condition, right there on the brink of hypothermia, anything's possible.
He might be right, Jenny.
I didn't ask you to come all this way just so you could belittle my experiences, Anya.
I'm not trying to belittle them. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. It doesn't add up. Surely you can see that.
I guess. But why did I think that it was a Sasquatch then?
Maybe because that's all you think about. You're so keyed up on the idea that it exists, you're filling in parts of your brain with the idea that anything, even slightly weird, is something Sasquatch related.
Well, I don't know what to make of what happened. But if you guys won't believe me, then I suppose there's no sense arguing about it.
After Jenny finished her tea, Anya helped her to stand.
And how are you feeling otherwise? Still cold and shivering?
No, I'm much better now. I think I just needed to recharge the battery.
You should be careful, all the same. What about if we pitch camp here and get some rest?
Can we get off the trail some? I don't like the thought of those guys roving around the hills looking for us.
As far as they know, we all went back to town.
Just the same. I don't want us easily found. Can you make us a camp that's nice and concealed?
Take me a bit of time, but yeah. How far off the trail do you want it?
The sun won't be up for a bit, I don't think. Still, far enough so we can't be seen. For that matter, it should be far enough that we can't be heard, either.
Joey put out the fire by dumping the remaining tea on it and a few handfuls of wet dirt. When he was sure it was out, he stood.
All right, follow me down back to the thick woods.
While Joey led them for the better part of half an hour, Anya was lost in thought. There were still a lot of questions to ask, and she wanted answers. But she wondered if Jenny would be in any shape to answer them. Or would even answer them honestly. Anya didn't necessarily think that Jenny would deliberately mislead her, but she also knew that Bigfoot was an all-consuming passion of Jenny's. As they walked on, Anya moved closer to Jenny.
So tell me about David's disappearance.
What about it?
I'm sorry to keep bringing it up, but do you think we should contact the sheriff?
Would it do any good?
I don't know. Would it?
Jenny stopped in her tracks and turned to face Anya.
Are you driving at something here?
I'm trying to figure out what the hell is going on. Like, why we have three armed men roving around, warning you off an expedition to prove the existence of Bigfoot. Doesn't that strike you as slightly out of the ordinary?
Of course it does. Don't insinuate that it doesn't.
And David? What's his role in all of this? Do you two have an understanding? Was there something there?
Like something romantic?
A lot of people hook up on the internet. I'm just wondering if there was a spark between you two. Maybe something that led you out here. Even if the promise of discovering some real evidence wasn't as convincing as it could have been.
Now you're questioning my motives. You think I deliberately defrauded the university so I could come on the trip? What, that I'm too poor to come out on my own if I wanted to?
Jenny turned and stomped off after Joey. Anya hurried to catch up to her.
That didn't come out right.
That's for sure.
Jenny, neither of us come from money. But I didn't mean to imply that you're financially hard up.
No. Just that I would willingly lie to my superiors so they could bankroll this little camping trip. What's worse? I wonder.
Jenny picked up speed and Anya let her catch up with Joey, who was navigating his way over a tangle of fallen logs. Overhead, the moon peeked out from behind a cloud and showed a fair expanse of the forest. Anya could make out the lay of the land. Joey seemed to be leading them uphill on a very slight slope. Probably he would make camp somewhere where they were surrounded by trees. She was sure that Joey would know how to make best use of the environment to guarantee that they wouldn't be disturbed. After they'd rested and gotten some much-needed sleep, they could trek into town and see the sheriff. Anya wanted to ask him some questions and get his take on this David guy. She still didn't trust the story. It seemed far too strange to believe, even if Jenny was determined to do so. She'd obviously lost all sense of objectivity on the situation. And then there was the matter of the three riflemen. The sheriff definitely needed to know that he had those guys prowling around, looking to scare folks off for some unknown reason. Joey stopped up ahead. He gestured that this was where they would make camp, and Jenny immediately sank down onto a log, resting her head in her hands. Anya came up next to her.
Look, I'm sorry, okay? Not necessarily for what I said, but for how I said it. I should have waited until you felt better to explain how I was thinking things through.
Jenny looked up at her with tired eyes.
You've always been somewhat impatient.
No argument there.
And sometimes...
Sometimes it gets in the way of my good manners. Absolutely.
All right. I appreciate the apology.
We've known each other too long to let this come between us.
Fair enough.
Joey came back into the small clearing, carrying armloads of pine boughs. He dropped them into a big pile and then left to go for more.
I could sleep for a week. I've been all over this forest for the past day.
Me too. I don't think I'll ever look at pine trees in the same way again.
Joey came back with another load and dropped them as well, combining the piles until he had a good area large enough for all of them to sleep on. He added some leaf litter, lay down to test the bed, and nodded.
This'll do. Come on.
Ugh.
Jenny collapsed onto it immediately. Anya followed and then sat up when she saw Joey going out again.
Aren't you sleeping?
See that cloud? It's going to rain.
Oh, not again.
I'll get some branches and more boughs so we can have a waterproof roof over us. Once that's done, I'll get a small fire going to warm the shelter. In an hour, we'll all be asleep.
Looks like Jenny's already out.
Good. I'll be back soon.
Anya watched him go and then turned to look at Jenny. Her friend was exhausted, and she'd almost died tonight. And yet she seemed determined to continue her quest, regardless of the threat to her safety. Anya knew she'd go along. Jenny would need protecting, if not from the external threats, like the mysterious gunman, then from herself. Anya had seen obsession kill other people, and knew that Jenny could easily fall prey to the same fate. Joey came back into the camp, dragging branches behind him.
She's still out?
Yeah. What the heck is that?
I don't know, because it's not something I've ever heard before.
Ever?
Never. Now, if you'll help me make this roof, we can get to bed and hopefully forget we ever heard it.
Joey and Anya thatched a roof together more quickly than she would have thought possible.
Get in there, Anya.
She scooted in next to Jenny. Joey stood outside the shelter looking around. Behind Anya, Jenny stirred and then woke up.
What's that noise?
Shh. Joey's making sure that this shelter can't be seen from outside.
Joey wriggled his body into the narrow entranceway, and then he reached behind him to pull the last bit of pine boughs over the small opening. Anya started to whisper something, but Joey put his hand over her mouth and gestured slowly outside. It was close. Anya held her breath and thought she could feel Jenny's body shaking nearby. She prayed Jenny could hold herself together. Otherwise, whatever was out there would know right where they were. Anya closed her eyes and checked to make sure she could get the sword. As many times as she'd done so, it still felt good to double-check. Joey leaned forward and tried peering through the branches and boughs to see what was outside. Anya strained her ears and thought she could hear something rustling around on the fringes of the camp area. Maybe it would simply pass through and leave them alone. She could feel Jenny's fear blend with excitement. As terrified as Jenny might be, there was a part of her that desperately wanted to creep out of the shelter and see for herself if the source of the noise just might be a real Sasquatch. Anya was curious as well. Could this be the real thing? She almost laughed at the idea. Joey's body tensed. Anya thought about Chi-Hawk and wondered if the wolf might be prowling around the area. Would it protect them? Could Joey call him in some way, like he'd supposedly contacted his grandfather? Jenny clapped her hands over her ears, biting her lips to keep from screaming. Anya's eyes blazed and ran with tears as she caught a whiff of the most horrible scent she'd ever smelled in her life. Anya's heart thundered in her chest. She wondered if she should just leap up and try to rush it. It was still quite dark outside, and she couldn't see through any of the boughs that Joey had laid over them without compromising their position. It was infuriating to think that she might easily know with one simple glance if the Sasquatch truly did exist or not. Anya tensed. Was that sound closer than before? Was the creature nearer to them now? They all jumped. It was trying to get inside the shelter. Jenny backed up until she was against the trunk of the tree that Joey had built the shelter next to. Her hand gripped Anya's arm. Joey glanced back at Anya and made a double-handed grip. Anya frowned. Joey wanted her to use the sword. Great. It was bad enough that he knew about it, but Anya wasn't crazy about pulling the sword out in front of Jenny. Bits of branches and boughs came away from the shelter. Joey nudged Anya.
Anya, I need some space.
More branches and boughs came away in a frenzy.
Joey, on three.
Joey nodded. Anya closed her eyes. Joey tapped Anya's arm. One, two, three. Anya jumped up and crashed through the roof of the shelter.
Yeah!
Anya opened her eyes. The outside of the shelter was a mess. Branches and boughs lay scattered at the base of the shelter. And there in front of her lay the creature, Chi-Hawk.
No!
Anya released the sword.
Oh my God!
Joey poked his head out.
What's the matter?
It's Chi-Hawk.
Joey crashed through the remainder of the shelter, not seeming to care about keeping it intact any longer. Anya could see the sorrow in his eyes the moment he saw the wolf. Chi-Hawk's entire left side was torn wide open. Bloody chunks of flesh clung to his fur, and Anya could even see bits of white bone protruding through his flesh at odd angles. No wonder the sound had been so horrifying. Chi-Hawk was in absolute agony and had been dragging himself through the woods looking for Joey. Joey pressed his face into Chi-Hawk's neck and stroked the wolf.
Who did this to you?
Chi-Hawk struggled to lay flat on the ground to rest. Behind them, Jenny came out of the shelter, her eyes wide with shock when she saw the damage to the wolf.
Who would do such a thing?
Anya frowned. There were three people she thought might be likely candidates for such brutality. Joey looked at Anya.
It was them. They did this to him.
Anya didn't say anything. Her heart felt heavy, imagining the agony that Chi-Hawk must have endured on his journey. He was such a beautiful animal, and the reality of the situation hit her hard. Chi-Hawk would not survive his wounds. As soon as she thought it, the wolf lifted its head and stared at her. Anya felt like his eyes were peering into her soul. She shook her head.
No.
Joey looked at her. After a moment, he seemed to understand.
Anya.
I won't do it.
Please. He's asking you to do it. End it, Anya. He's suffering.
I don't know if I can.
You have to. He asked.
Anya walked behind the shelter. Anya stared at the sword for a long moment and knew it was the right thing to do. She walked slowly back. Jenny gaped when she saw the sword Anya held.
Where the hell did that come from?
Long story.
And then, as if Anya was in a dream, she felt herself walking toward Chi-Hawk. She knelt next to him and stroked his fur. The wolf looked at her. Anya could see the plaintive look and knew it would have to be done. She stood and gripped the sword. Joey nuzzled Chi-Hawk one last time, then moved back. The wolf lay his head on the ground as if he knew just how to position himself.
Anya, what in the world are you going to do to that poor wounded animal?
Not now, Jenny. Not now.
Anya raised the sword over her head.
Forgive me for this, and may it release you from your suffering.
Anya watched as Joey laid one last rock on top of Chi-Hawk's grave. He had dug a pit for his friend and buried him with Anya and Jenny's help.
I'm sorry, Joey.
He is one with the spirit that moves within us all. At least he's not suffering.
I feel terrible about
it. You did a good thing, Anya. I know that he appreciated it.
Whoever did that to him, why would they harm him like that?
Because they didn't understand him, and they had no wish to.
Anya felt her eyes start to well up and turned away. Jenny stood a short distance from them, leaning against a tree. As Anya approached, she looked up.
You want to tell me where you found that sword?
Not particularly.
You always liked keeping secrets, huh?
Don't be jealous, Jenny.
What is with you? You think I'm jealous of everything you have? You've got a sword, big whoop.
And the TV show. I haven't forgotten that bugged the hell out of you when it happened.
I'm over it.
Are you?
Last I checked, neither one of us had a man.
So if I had a boyfriend, then you'd be even more upset with me.
Definitely.
Jenny smiled slightly and moved over, giving Anya room to lean against the tree.
The more I learn about the male species, the more I realize that truly good men are almost impossible to find.
I'd take a half-decent guy. I haven't been on a date in almost a year. David was supposed to bring on the rainy season, and now he's vanished.
What if we head into town and see if we can talk to the local sheriff about finding him?
Yeah, I guess.
We'll need to be careful. Dawn will be breaking soon. And that means those goons we ran into yesterday could be back patrolling the woods. Are you sure you don't know why they'd be out here?
I sure don't.
All right, then. We'll just have to make sure we don't run into them. I don't think they'll be as understanding as they were yesterday if they find me still out here.
Joey started dismantling what was left of the improvised shelter. Anya frowned and walked over to him. Jenny followed.
Don't we still need that?
I don't know how long Chi-Hawk's body will remain buried.
What's that mean?
Predators and scavengers will smell the body. They'll come around and dig it up. I don't want to be here when that happens. Besides, we each have our own agendas now.
Each? What does that mean?
I'll lead you out to the road so you can find your way back into town. That way you can take care of finding the sheriff and stuff like that. Maybe find that David dude.
And what will you be doing?
Joey looked up from throwing more branches into the scrub, his blank, focused expression sending a slight chill down Anya's back.
I need to find the men who chased us out of here yesterday.
You can't take them on by yourself, Joey. They've got guns. Let us get the sheriff out here and he'll know what to do.
I don't care whether they have guns or not.
You may not care, but the fact that they do have them could make your life a thing of the past. Is that what you want?
They killed my friend.
I know they did. But chasing after them by yourself isn't the smartest thing to do.
Why? You think I don't know how to handle myself?
I know you have to do something. And I want to help you get justice, but not this way. You go charging after these guys and they'll just kill you. Your life wouldn't mean a damn thing to them.
If it's my time to die in battle, then so be it.
Don't dishonor your grandfather with that kind of talk. You think he spent all those years teaching you how to become one with the woods? How to stalk and track, entrusting the secrets of your people to you just so you could run off recklessly and get killed?
Joey stared down at Chi-Hawk's grave. Anya could see the rage coursing through him. He trembled slightly, his hand gripping one last rock. Anya turned around. Joey had done a remarkable job of scattering the shelter. It was difficult for Anya to even tell where they'd been holed up 40 minutes earlier. Near Chi-Hawk's burial plot, she saw a pile of stones she hadn't noticed before. Anya walked over and knelt down near it. Jenny came over as well.
What is that?
A pile of rocks, but it's not on the grave. What'd he do this for?
Anya frowned. The pile of smooth stones branched off to the right. She glanced in that direction and saw something else near the base of a large oak tree.
Over there.
She and Jenny rose and walked to the tree. Jenny squatted.
Another one?
Looks to be, yeah. But what's it mean?
I don't know. Ask Joey?
Yeah.
Joey? Joey!
Oh, crap. I have a bad feeling.
Looks like the kid has made his decision.
I just hope it isn't his last. Well, that's just great. Our guide has gone and deserted us.
We're not going after him?
No. You know your way around here?
Not really.
Me neither. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that if we took off to find him, we'd end up getting even more lost than we are right now.
We're lost?
Hopefully not.
But what about Joey?
We can't go after him. Our best bet now is to figure out the stones and then go for help. If we find the sheriff, we can get him out here, and that's how we'll help Joey.
It's just that, after what you said a few minutes ago, I thought you'd be a lot more driven to search for him.
Jenny, I am driven. But I'm also a realist. We don't know which way is up around here. I'm worried about Joey and hope he doesn't do anything stupid, but that can't be helped right now. Instead, we find the sheriff and explain it to him. Maybe he'll be able to help us out. And he might even have a cute deputy for you to swoon over.
You think?
Anya rolled her eyes and turned back to the stone cairn and studied it.
I don't know. Just help me with this. Why would Joey make a cairn?
I never studied cairns, but I took a course on European weapons one time. If I recall correctly, that sword you have looks like something made around 500 to 600 years ago.
I guess that's about right.
Really?
Can we study the rocks, please? The one over by the burial mound seemed to point this way because of how the rocks were stacked. This one seems to point over to the left there, which would make it sort of a southerly direction. You think?
Seems to be. Sun's coming up from over in that direction, so yeah, south it is.
Good.
Anya stood up and kicked over the cairn.
What are you doing now?
Making sure that whoever those guys are, we don't leave them a clear trail to follow us. I don't want to have to think about them being behind us as we try to find our way out of here.
Well, I don't think those guys will be worrying about us.
Why on earth not?
They'll have Joey to worry about. And trust me, the look in the kid's eyes is pretty mean.
A teenager shouldn't have that kind of anger in his heart. Kids today grow up too fast.
They have to grow up sometime. I think that Joey is convinced his time is at hand.
Killing doesn't make you a grown-up.
Maybe he thinks vengeance does. A lot of people do.
I'm not convinced that it's the best way to go. But that's neither here nor there. Joey's gone, and it's up to us to get back to town.
At least he left us the cairns.
Speaking of which...
Anya tracked from the position of the rocks she'd kicked over and walked about 20 paces in a southerly direction. By the base of a blueberry bush, she saw another small pile of stones.
Over there.
Anya frowned at the pile of rocks. This time, the stones didn't veer off in one direction or another, but seemed equal on all sides. Jenny walked up and looked over her shoulder.
What is it?
There's no directional indicator here, Jenny.
Suppose it means this is the direction to go in?
Just stay on this course?
Why not?
You might just be right. All right, then, we stay on this heading.
Anya studied the area. From the blueberry bush, there seemed to be a small track running through the woods.
Maybe it's an animal run.
Like, big animals?
I don't think we're gonna run into your Sasquatch hiking down this trail.
You never know.
Let's get going. If we can find the main road, it's a matter of a few miles back to town. We could be there by noon if we're lucky.
And back out here by dusk?
If not sooner.
As long as you take the lead and I can just follow along behind you, I should be fine.
Let's get moving then.
Right behind you.
The sun continued to climb into the sky as the two women picked their way through the undergrowth, following the run as it wound through the trees. It was still too dim for Anya to estimate from the sun's position how long they'd been walking. It felt to her like they could have been walking for an hour or 3 hours. Fortunately, the animal run seemed relatively free of debris and wasn't hugely difficult to navigate. Along the way, Anya spotted small pellets of rabbit scat that seemed to confirm that the run was relatively well used, but she couldn't tell at all if it would lead them back to the main road.
Anya?
Yeah?
When did you first get that sword of yours, and where is it now?
Oh, I thought we agreed not to talk about it.
I never agreed to that.
You're not going to let me out of answering your questions this time, are you?
Not a chance, sister. Now start dishing.
It was back in France, several years ago. And ever since I got the sword, it's always with me.
I don't get it. Where is it?
I don't honestly know. It's as if it's in some other plane of existence. I can summon the sword and I can put it back there again.
How weird!
It's most definitely weird. And since I'm not entirely sure how all of it works, it's even stranger to discuss, you know? I mean, I know that you want answers to your questions, but you've got to understand that I don't necessarily have any answers to give.
You got questions of your own, huh?
You can say that again. The sword comes with a host of stuff that I can't even begin to talk about, let alone try to make you comprehend. I was chosen to have the sword for some reason, and that's all I know. For the time being, I have to accept that. Until I'm made aware of my destiny, if there even is one, then I guess I just keep doing what I know how to do.
In any event, makes for something to talk about on a long walk back to town.
Maybe not so long.
What?
Look!
Through the trees, they could see what looked like the black asphalt of a road. They'd made it out of the woods. Anya and Jenny stepped out onto the well-worn asphalt of the main road. Small puddles of water from the overnight storm acted like moats between the woods and civilization. Anya glanced one way and then the other before looking at Jenny.
What do you think? Left or right?
I think left. That was the direction we headed initially when we drove in.
That's what my gut says. Let's go.
I should apologize.
For what?
Getting you involved in all of this. I never meant for it to be such a headache. I just wanted you to see what David had promised to show me.
You dragged me out here without even knowing what it was first?
I guess so. I wasn't thinking very clearly. So am I forgiven?
You show me some definitive proof that Bigfoot exists, and I might think about it.
I knew you were a believer.
I never said that.
Didn't have to. I know you'd be thrilled if it turns out that David has something truly amazing to show us. Who wouldn't be?
Of course I would. But I'm still skeptical as hell. I just can't accept the idea that something like a Sasquatch could survive in the wilderness, what with all our technology and encroachment.
Joey disappeared on us when we were less than 10 feet away from him.
We were distracted.
He built those cairns without us even realizing it. I'd say that was pretty impressive.
So what?
I'm simply saying that if Joey can be that stealthy with us so close, and we knew he was there, then why is it so difficult for you to consider the possibility that a creature who knows these woods like the back of his hand could evade any attempt to find him?
Because a Sasquatch isn't a Joey.
How do you know how intelligent they are? They could be more evolved than us. You never know.
Anya had to admit, at least to herself, that for a moment before she saw Chi-Hawk clawing at their structure, she had briefly wondered whether they were being attacked by Bigfoot.
Well, let's wait to see what amazing evidence this David guy has, and then I'll make up my mind. You know, because I'm a scientist and I'm supposed to say things like that.
It isn't all facts. It's the burning questions that drive us to explore and discover things, not the reinforcement of factual information. If that's what drove me, then I'd be a pretty dull woman.
You're saying I'm dull now?
No. But maybe you've forgotten the wonder of all that we do. Maybe it's become stale for you in the wake of finding out you have to carry that sword around with you.
Not the sword again.
Well, can you blame me for wondering about you? The last time we were together, you were much more happy-go-lucky. Now you're much more a cynic. What happened to the Anya Creed I used to know?
You sound like the mother I never had.
Don't dodge the question, Anya.
I've seen a lot of bad stuff since I got this sword.
What kinds of bad stuff?
A lot of death. And I've been the cause of some of it. Justifiable, of course, but it's death just the same.
You've killed people?
Yes.
Wow. And here I thought my man troubles were plenty bad.
I don't have time to think about men. Well, not much anyway.
I knew the old Anya was in there somewhere.
As different as she and Jenny were, there was a comfort in being with her. The sense of the familiar. It was something Anya realized she was missing from her life in a big way. Anya stopped, glanced behind her, and stepped closer to the edge of the road.
You hear that? This could be our ticket into town.
I was always told not to hitchhike. Are you saying I should go back on my pledge?
Flash your legs if you need to, but I'm tired of walking and wasting time. We need to get out of these woods. Sounds like a truck.
If the driver's cute, I call shotgun.
Fine. I'll sit in the back for all I care. My legs are tired and I can use the rest. He sounds as if he's going at a fairly good clip. Better stand over here so we don't get hit.
There it is.
Anya saw the front of the truck emerge from around the corner about 300 yards down the road. It was a dark pickup with its headlights still on.
They won't miss us.
Jenny started waving her hands, trying to flag down the truck.
You think it's the sheriff out patrolling?
Who cares? It's a vehicle and we can ride into town instead of walking. As long as they're not cannibals interested in stripping off our flesh, I don't care who they are.
Lovely thought.
Just kidding.
The truck rumbled closer, and Anya could see it was starting to slow down as it approached.
They see us. We're in.
Anya stepped out onto the road and waved with Jenny. The truck eased to a stop about 20 yards away. Jenny ran to the truck cab, and Anya had to follow after her.
Jenny, wait up!
Oh! Hi!
Jenny climbed into the idling truck. Anya came abreast of the cab and looked in the open door, half expecting to see someone dangerous staring back at her. Instead, she saw Jenny beaming. Next to her was a handsome man with dark brown hair and the brightest blue eyes Anya had ever seen. Even though he was sitting, Anya could tell that he was tall and very fit. She looked at Jenny.
Anya, this is David, the guy I told you about.
Anya looked at David, seeing the brass star on his chest for the first time.
You never mentioned he was the sheriff.
I didn't know.
The sheriff held out his hand.
Climb in. You two look as if you've had quite the adventure.
Anya climbed into the truck next to Jenny and shut the door. She stared back at the woods, silently praying they found Joey in time. After getting on the road, David glanced over at Anya.
You guys were walking back to town?
It's been a rough night.
Has it?
What in the world happened to you? Why weren't you at the hotel like you said you were gonna be?
I got called out of town unexpectedly. I tried to get in touch, but the cell phone reception is absolutely terrible up in these parts. I'm really sorry.
Well, as long as nothing happened to you.
Jenny squeezed herself a bit more closely to him.
I need to drive, Jenny.
Sorry.
So, David, what called you out of town?
Just some police stuff. I was about 20 miles up north is all. I'd tell you about it, but it's really boring.
Anya glanced out the window a moment, hoping the uneasiness she felt wasn't showing in her eyes. Jenny, not knowing David was the sheriff, and then this little verbal dance after the night she had, was sitting about as well as cold oatmeal. When she felt she could keep her expression neutral, she glanced back at David. He drove easily, eyes on the road.
Jenny tells me you've got some amazing Bigfoot evidence to show her.
In town? We'll go past the station so I can get some stuff, and then I'll show you.
What is it exactly?
Oh, no. I don't want to spoil the surprise.
Anya, just be a little patient.
We need to get some help when we get back to town.
Oh?
Do you have deputies or anything like that? Guys you can call on for help? Maybe the state police?
Why?
Because you've got a roving trio of gun-toting guys up in the woods who scared off Jenny's students yesterday.
So they were telling the truth.
What do you mean?
Ellen, the lady who handles the calls at the station, got me on the radio late yesterday and said that a group of kids came into the station claiming they'd been run out of the woods by a bunch of psychos. Ellen didn't put much credence in what they said, and since I was out of town, there wasn't much she could do about it.
I guess that answers my question about the deputies.
Can't afford them. The town, I mean. We're a backwater place. Barely got enough funds for me and Ellen.
The truck rolled over another pothole, bouncing them in the interior of the cab. Anya knocked the top of her head against the roof.
Ow!
More enough for road work, apparently.
Exactly. We're working on it, though. A wealthy industrialist recently moved to the outskirts of town and set up shop. His property taxes alone should be enough to at least get another part-timer on the force. That would help me out a lot.
Who's the guy that moved in?
Made his money in mineral mining down in South America. Name's something like Betancourt.
I've heard of him. I think he was in the news for something. A mine collapse down in Venezuela or something like that.
That's him. He was in a lot of hot water. But he's a nice guy. Invited me up for a chat one afternoon recently. He's really taken with the area. Loves going for hikes, that sort of thing.
Better warn him not to go out there while those nuts are stalking around.
We'll take care of those guys, don't worry about it.
Well, we'll need to hurry up because there's a teenage boy who's determined to wreak vengeance on them for killing his wolf.
Joey?
Yep.
Cripes. What in the world is he thinking?
He's not. That's the problem.
They killed his wolf. It was terrible. The poor thing came to us and died.
Chihawk. He was a beautiful creature, wasn't he?
Yes.
Well, one thing's for sure. Whoever killed Chihawk, they're going to have their hands full with Joey.
Are you kidding? That's all you can say? Joey's just a boy. He can't handle those guys alone. They'll kill him.
I highly doubt that.
You doubt that?
Hang on a second, Anya. We'll get out there, trust me. I know his grandfather very well, and I promised him I'd always look out for Joey. But you should know that Joey's a pretty accomplished woodsman. His grandfather taught him a fair lot of stuff. Joey knows those woods like no one else in the area and can disappear anytime he wants.
That's not gonna help him when they shoot him dead for being a pain in the ass. What happens to your promise to his grandfather then?
Joey knows how to handle himself. I'm honestly not that concerned. I've seen him fight before.
Joey?
Oh, yeah. We had a guy come through here about a year or so back. Got drunk at the bar and started some crap. I was on my way there when Joey happened to stop by the bar dropping off some stuff for Mr. Crow, the owner. The drunk guy saw that Joey was Native American and started hassling him. According to Mr. Crow, Joey held out as long as any reasonable man might be expected to. Then he leveled the guy. Threw him out of the bar just as I was pulling up.
Was the man armed?
Had a knife about as long as my arm. Didn't matter to Joey. He just handled him. Never saw the guy again. I asked Crow if he wanted to press any charges, but most folks around these parts are happy if trouble just leaves them alone. I'm inclined to agree with that sentiment. People leave us alone and we can keep on with our lives.
What if they don't leave you alone?
Then we take them over to the state police barracks about an hour from here. They lock them up and prosecute them if need be. But that's only happened once, long before my time as sheriff.
I'm still worried. I met Joey's grandfather last night, and after everything he's taught Joey, I can't imagine he'd be thrilled if he knew his only male heir was out in the woods facing down three armed guys.
You don't know his grandfather, then. He'll eat this up and ask for seconds.
Jenny glanced at Anya, who gave her a solid frown, and then back at David.
David, maybe we should try to get out into the woods as soon as we can. I mean, I know you think Joey can handle himself, and he probably can, but wouldn't it be better to make sure those guys, whoever they are taken care of before we look at the evidence you've got?
Sure, no problem. But we still need to go back to the station. I'll need my rifle. Anya, you shoot?
Do I have to?
I don't know. You saw these guys. Are they skilled?
From what I know about guns, they looked as if they knew what they were doing.
Okay. I'll give you both a crash course in handling the rifles.
You want me to take a gun, too?
Any dumbass can shoot a gun. And apparently there are three of them out in the woods right now. You'll be okay, trust me.
Anya glanced at David unhappily. Just what the hell was going on around here? He didn't seem the least bit concerned about Joey, and he wasn't too concerned about the guys in the woods either. Why did everyone seem to think she was overreacting? She didn't detect any real threat from David, aside from a general sense of apathy, and yet she felt extremely uneasy. To Anya's annoyance, Jenny seemed absolutely content. The road twisted and turned, and they took several curves faster than seemed safe. Anya decided there was nothing she could do but hang on and enjoy the ride. She closed her eyes and thought about the sword. Instantly, she could see it hovering in front of her. She was feeling calm and clear-headed. She'd go after Joey on her own if she had to. She was completely unprepared for an explosion. Anya opened her eyes as the entire body of the truck flew into the air. And then they were rolling, turning and flipping over and over again as the truck slammed into the earth. Slowly, Anya's senses started to return. She could taste acrid smoke in her mouth. It seemed to have singed the interior of her nostrils as well.
Oh.
Aches suddenly invaded her joints and her bones. The back of her neck seemed to have seized up, and Anya found it difficult to move her head or neck at all. She tried to wiggle her toes, but she couldn't tell if she had. Anya tried to take an internal assessment of her injuries, but she found she simply couldn't concentrate enough to draw her awareness throughout her body. She took a breath and felt the stabbing of 1,000 needles in her lungs. It felt as if shards of hot metal had lanced through her. Again, she tried to move, but she couldn't.
Anya?
She opened her eyes. The wrecked corpse of a truck loomed over her, twisted and gnarled almost beyond recognition. She looked down and saw part of the front end was pinning her down. She was trapped.
She's awake.
Jenny's dirt and grease-smeared face came into blurry view. Anya had to blink several times to clear the picture. Jenny smiled at Anya.
What happened?
Some sort of explosion. It tossed the truck through the air and we came down pretty hard.
You're okay?
I think so.
David?
He's okay, thank God. Got some cuts, that's all. Look, David says he's got a jack that must have gone flying when we exploded or whatever it was that happened. He thinks he can crank this off you and we'll be able to pull you out.
Does it look bad from your angle?
Jenny glanced down and then back at Anya.
I can't see your legs.
I can't feel anything down there.
But that doesn't mean anything. Maybe the circulation is cut off. Once David gets the truck off you, we'll be in a better position to see the extent of the damage.
Anya nodded, and David moved into her line of sight behind Jenny. He had a cut across his cheek and dirt all along his neck and clothes. Still, he smiled at her.
Hey.
Hey yourself. Found the jack. I'm gonna try to get this rig off you. Don't try to move until I tell Jenny to start pulling, okay?
Yeah.
Good. Just stay with me while I do this and we'll have you out in no time flat.
Jenny came around and took Anya's hands in hers.
I think I'll just hold on to your hands here in case I need to tug you out fast.
We're not still on the road?
Partially. We're also on the dirt.
All right, here we go.
Anya closed her eyes and let the gray mist envelop her. She calmed herself down and relaxed her breathing, even as she heard David start cranking the jack. She wondered if there would be a sudden onslaught of pain once the truck was lifted. The sudden release from pressure made Anya's eyes fly open. David came around and looked down at her under the truck.
Well, that's interesting.
If you two are through mocking my situation here...
Jenny pointed, and Anya glanced down, as much as the pain in her neck let her. She could see her legs. They were completely bare.
Looks like you lost your pants, Anya.
Anya flexed her toes. Pins and needles pricked her all over as blood rushed back through her legs, but they responded. She slumped back.
Oh, thank God.
The truck wasn't actually on your legs. You are really lucky.
My neck hurts.
I'm not surprised.
David walked behind Anya and looped his arms under Anya's armpits.
I've got to move you before the truck actually does come down. You okay with that?
Do it.
David tightened his grip and then pulled Anya out from under the truck. She felt a wave of pain lance through her upper back and neck.
Ow, 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 ow! Careful!
David laid her down some feet away from the crumpled heap.
You okay?
Ugh, my back's killing me.
David ran his hands under Anya's back.
I can't be sure, of course, but it doesn't feel like there's anything broken.
But I could get up and walk two steps and sever my own spinal cord, though.
That's true.
That's not gonna happen, Anya.
Optimist.
I'll see if I can find your pants. Kind of cold to be lying out here in your skivvies like that.
Thanks.
Anya watched David move off and then turned to Jenny, wincing as she did. She struggled to sit up. David came back around the side of the truck holding a pair of pants. Anya could see there were burns on the fabric. He saw Anya and stopped short.
You shouldn't be sitting.
I'm all right.
We should really wait to get a medical opinion on that from someone more qualified. Like, maybe after you've had an x-ray?
No time. I'd like my pants, please.
David handed them over and Anya struggled into them.
We need to get out of here.
Are you kidding me? I've got to stay and figure out what happened. In case you didn't notice, my truck exploded.
Of course I noticed. I was just pinned under it. Don't you think that explosion happened for a reason? Like, maybe to target someone?
Me? Why would anyone want to see me dead?
I don't know. Maybe we can start with what you supposedly know about the existence of the Sasquatch. Maybe someone thinks you know a few things that you shouldn't.
Oh, come on. We're a small town out here. Everyone knows everyone else and everyone's business.
Look, this is what I know. There are armed men in those woods who seem determined to run off everyone in this area. I have no idea what their game is. All I know is they've been making life hell. And this explosion seems to fit in with their plans.
David frowned as he thought over Anya's words. Jenny moved close to him.
So what do we do?
Right now? I'd suggest we vanish. I think that explosion will probably act like chum for these guys, and we can count on them making an appearance sooner than later.
In that case, I can arrest them.
They'd kill you before you get the chance. There are three of them, remember? And I don't think they'll come out nice and neat for you to order them to drop their guns and put their hands up.
I suppose you're right. We aren't much more than a mile or two from town. We were cruising along pretty quick when we blew up. Let's get back to town so I can call for some backup.
Anya wiped her hands on her pants and then carefully stood. She took a few steps and decided she felt fine, all things considered.
You up to this, Anya?
I think so. Not much choice, is there? Is there a path we can use through the woods? Staying on the road probably isn't the smartest thing to do right now. Those guys will be looking for us here.
There's a footpath that runs alongside a stream and tracks back to town. But do you think you can do it?
I'm good.